This is the night of our quarterly business meeting, and so we'll be going into session for that in just a little bit. But I want tonight to spend a few moments devotionally together, and there's a concept that we have from time to time noted in the Scriptures, and I'd like to call our attention to it tonight and to give a couple of biblical illustrations of it. There are four passages that we're going to look at in fairly quick succession, and the first of them is in the fourth psalm. Would you turn there, please, together tonight? The fourth psalm. You may recall that Psalms 3, 4, and 5 all comprise basically a 24-hour period of time. And what David is so distressed about is the multiplicity of people that have risen up against him. The backdrop to this is Absalom's rebellion. And the distressing note of that, of course, is that that's actually due to David's own sin. And in the midst of that, David is able to pin a number of very encouraging statements for people who may, like David, realize that there is something that they are having to deal with that is largely due either to their own failure, mistakes, or even their sinfulness. And one of the really encouraging statements is the very first verse of this psalm, Psalm 4. Would you look, please, at that verse? It begins with David appealing to the Lord to answer him, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. And then this statement, you have relieved me in my distress. You have relieved me in my distress. And if you look, please, in the margin of your Bible, you will notice that the word that is translated relieved is literally made room for. You have made room for me in my distress. Now, that's an expression that you and I wouldn't use if we had a testimony service and someone stood and made that statement. We would wonder just exactly what they had reference to. But it really becomes clear if you notice the word distress. This is a word for a place that is very narrow and restricted. You can translate it a tight place, a narrow circumstance. In other words, a situation in which you feel as if there's really no wiggle room at all. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. You just are left almost with no options whatsoever. And what do you need? You need room. You need God to relieve the situation, to give a place finally to get your elbows out. And that's what David is referring to here. You have made room for me in my tight place. Now, what does a tight place like that look like? I want to call our attention to two Old Testament examples of that, one in the life of David and one in the life of Jacob. We're just going to work our way backward here. If you'll go to 1 Samuel and the 30th chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And of course, even by announcing that we're toward the end of the book of 1 Samuel, you probably would immediately recognize that the whole context here for quite a number of chapters has been David's being a fugitive and pursued, persecuted unjustly by King Saul. And it all really comes to the very worst of heads when you remember after David makes an attempt to march with the Philistine armies against Israel, he's got to keep up this pretense that he's been living now for many months of actually having gone over to the Philistines. And the Philistine commanders, it's obviously a providence of God that they confer among themselves and agree. There's no possibility that we want this man to join us in the battle against his own people. Right in the midst of that, he will defect. He'll go back, so send him home. Well, David and the men following him and their families have been living down in the south in a little city called Ziklag. And you remember that when David arrives, what they discover is that the Amalekites have made an incursion up out of the desert, and that they have burnt Ziklag, and they've taken everything as their booty and taken all of the women and the children. And if you look, please, at verse 6, David was greatly distressed because in addition to all of that, the people turned against him and there was talk in the camp of stoning him. He'd been the one who led us here. We've been following him. This has been the result. And everyone is so embittered in spirit at this point that they can hardly see straight. So there's almost a kind of a mob uprising. David is greatly distressed. The word distressed here is the verb of what we just looked at in Psalm 4, verse 1, a tight place. David is feeling that constriction. He's feeling choked at this point, as if there's just no way to turn. That's what, scripturally, the kind of place Psalm 4:1 is talking about. This is a live example of such a situation. Let me show you another one. Go back to Genesis chapter 32, 32nd chapter of Genesis. And we're just going to drop into the life of Jacob upon his return to the land after 20 years absence. And you remember that he's going back with his wives and with his children. And then he's pursued by Laban. And that all, by the grace of God, is resolved to the point where he's protected from any harm from his father-in-law. And then of all things, what he hears is that his estranged brother Esau has heard that he's coming, and Esau has 400 mounted armed men accompanying him to come and meet Jacob. And if you look at the seventh verse, it says Jacob was greatly afraid. And then here's our word, and distressed. That's the term again. You could say that he felt cornered. And he was. Behind him is Laban, and in front of him is Esau, and he has alienated both of these family members to the point where he fears both of them, because each of them actually has a complaint against him that is of such a magnitude that these relatives of his father-in-law and his brother, have been outraged by him. And he's caught between the two. There's no wiggle room here. And he feels completely trapped and cornered, tight place. There's another Bible illustration of it. Now, what David gives testimony to in that fourth psalm is that in a similar circumstance later on in his life, that was really due to his own sinfulness. What we saw in 1 Samuel 30 was a completely uncalled for situation. He's being pursued unjustly. Jacob, on the other hand, is really due. He's deserving of what's happening in his life. And when David writes in Psalm 4, it's that kind of situation where, David, what you're experiencing right now is not only what you deserve, but it's actually what God himself foretold he was going to do as a result of your sin. Now, folks, if we can just stop right there for a moment. and remind ourselves of the goodness of God, just how wonderfully, how amazing God's grace is. And I want to ask you to turn now to the last of the passages that we'll give any attention to. And it's the 46th Psalm, Psalm 46. And what I'm going to call to your attention now was first called to my attention by Mrs. Boyd, our former pastor's wife. All of her life, the King James Version had been her Bible, as it was Pastor Boyd's. And after his passing, at some point there, she decided to read the New American Standard Bible. And then, as you know, we went through an exercise of reading it together in our devotional times for I forget how many weeks, like 6 weeks, to see how it struck all of us. And we had a testimony time as people stood at the mic, and they actually bore testimony as to whether or not this had been an improvement for them in their understanding of Scripture. Well, Mrs. Boyd came to really love the New American Standard Bible. All of her scripture memory, all of her life, we're talking now up into her late 70s and early 80s, had been out of the King James Version. But she made that transition almost seamlessly, and she loved the kinds of things that she would find in this translation that threw new light on those verses. And one of them is this verse, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And what she'd done is look at the margin. And if you do that, this is what she discovered that she called to my attention. A very present help, or abundantly available for help. And in trouble. And literally in the margin, tight places. Abundantly available for help in tight places. What we've seen, of course, is that God provides that even when we deserve the very opposite. His loving kindness truly soars above the highest heavens, and it is everlasting. And he delights in manifesting it. And all that's required of any of us is a contrite and broken spirit when we have done wrong, and complete acknowledgement of that in his presence, determination by his grace to grow in grace, to leave the old things behind. And here's this tight place then. He is abundantly available for your help. I want to ask you tonight now, what is your tight place? What do you feel has you cornered? What's the situation or the circumstance that your impression of is that there's no way out? That you have no options? What is your tight place tonight? The scripture says this is the word of God. He is abundantly available for help. And our theme verse for the year is, to this one will I look. To him who is, can you say it with me? Humble and contrite of spirit, trembles, has a right reverence for my word, trembles at my word. So let's check our spirits tonight. Are we humble or proud? Are we pliant and teachable? Or are we stiff, immovable, incorrectible? To this one will I look, to him who is humble, contrite of spirit. And when he reads the Bible, when she reads my word, she truly has a great reverence for it in her heart. Well, people like that, let them come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in their time of need. We pray together. We do that. Let's bow our heads. I really want to encourage you to take this to heart tonight, and right there before we go any further this evening, to do the right thing with it. Can you do that? Can you take this as the word of the Lord for you tonight? And believe in your heart that God means this for you this evening. And he wants you to receive it and act upon it, and then he will act on your behalf. He will show himself strong, he says, on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Right now, can you make your heart perfect before the Lord? Humble, contrite, and completely reverently responsive to his word. Can you do that? You do that, he will look to you, and you will find him to be a strong help in your tight place. Loving Lord, thank you so much for not only the assurances of your word, but for these live examples. And we praise you now for drawing our attention to this wonderful and remarkable way that you deal with your poor people, weak and misguided and often proud and overbearing and unyielding, and reaping the due result of our actions and our ways. Gracious Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for grace extended to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he bore all our iniquity. And grant now a release for someone here tonight. Lord, free them from what they have entrapped themselves with. And we pray that by your grace there would be a wonderful victory in their heart and in their life this week. And we pray in Christ Jesus' precious name. Amen.